Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Metroscope, an Entercom Radio Portland public affairs program. I'm Gary Bloxham, and on this show, we are going to be talking about the tech industry, and more specifically, how you or someone you know could enter into the tech industry. On the show this time, I would like to welcome Hannah Patterson and Danny Condon, both with the Tech Academy here in Portland. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you. Hey, hello.
So, Danny, let me first start with you. Could you tell us, what is the Tech Academy?
So the Tech Academy is a coding boot camp, which is essentially a training program to teach people how to develop software. It's a 20 to 30 week program and teaches someone who essentially knows nothing all the way up to the point where they know how to develop software, how to make websites, and then we help them get a job.
So coding, what is coding programming, basically? Is that what it is?
Yeah. So basically, it's a way for a person to tell a computer what they want it to do. I always say that pretty much any time you open your phone or a computer and you're using it to do anything, a developer programmed it, used a computer language to tell the computer what to do. And that's software development. That's coding.
So you mean the iPhone doesn't think on its own?
No. Computers. Yeah, that's something that we emphasize a lot at the school is that it's just a machine. It doesn't think. Even artificial intelligence, it's never going to think on its own without someone else having programmed it to do something.
So what kind of students come to the Tech Academy?
Basically, people who are looking to either make a career change into coding or who are looking, maybe they were in coding or like earlier on, but want to freshen up their skills and want to learn the most recent technologies. But it's essentially people who do want to have a career in software development.
But like you said at the very beginning, it's maybe people that have never done it before, right? So yeah. You can be brand new to it.
Yeah, there's a really wide range of students, which is fun. We've had, 18-year-olds who are fresh out of high school and have just always known that this is what they want to do, and they're starting their first career for the first time. And then we've had people in their, early 60s, like a retired pastor who's, and so sometimes it's people who coded decades and decades before and don't know any of the new technologies, and sometimes it's people who are barely, they're just familiar computer users, have no background in development at all.
It must be super interesting because it's all walks of life that are coming to you, right?
Yeah.
It really is.
Something that you have at the Tech Academy is called Coding Bootcamp. What is Coding Bootcamp? And I'll ask you that.
Yeah, we call it a Coding Bootcamp because it's sort of intensive. Our program, we're unique in that we're self-paced. So the length of time it takes a student varies from student to student, but it's typically a 20 to 30 week program. And it's supposed to be as immersive as possible. Sort of that beginning to end, we're going to take you from having no background to being a well-rounded junior developer that's ready to get hired right away. And so that's where the boot camp part of that comes from.
And what do you mean by intensive? Is it like 24 hours a day? Are you doing this on the weekends? Or is it you never get some sleep?
It's pretty flexible scheduling. Yeah. The initial concept of a developer boot camp comes out of San Francisco, and that was an extremely intensive, 80 hours a week you're sitting in front of your computer. And we have a much more relaxed approach than that, and students control their own schedules. So it's about 20 weeks long if you're studying 40 hours a week. We've had students who pretty much just slept, ate, and studied and got through it really, really fast. And then there's people who hold down full-time jobs and are just studying on, you know, in the evenings and on weekends, and, you know, parents who are working around their kids' schedules, that sort of thing, too.
Is this something that you do? Do you come to the Tech Academy, or do you do this online?
Yeah, there's a few different options. You can come to the campus in downtown Portland, and that's the preferred method because you have instructors there to help you as you're going through. You get all your questions answered right away. But the entire program is available online. We developed our own custom learning management system. So you can literally, be on vacation in Hawaii on the beach, studying software development and learning to be a programmer.
Wouldn't that be the antithesis of why you're on vacation, though? Yeah. I'm on vacation so I can study.
Yeah. If you want. Yeah.
If you want.
Yeah.
So how long have each of you been at the Tech Academy? Hannah, I'll ask you that first.
I've been with the Tech Academy for about a year and a half now. I started right after Labor Day in 2016.
And what is your role at the Tech Academy?
I'm the vice president for outreach, so I oversee sort of community outreach and marketing strategies, both of those two things.
And Danny, how about you?
I've been at the Tech Academy for 3 years, and I've pretty much done everything non-technical. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. Surprisingly, haven't touched a lick of code, but have helped, hundreds of people get jobs once they do finish the program. And all the administrative, sign up, hiring people, firing people, you name it. It's a startup where, you wear a lot of different hats, but.
Danny always talks about how when he started, he made the coffee every morning. That's like this running joke at the school is that Danny's the coffee maker.
I've graduated from that.
So yeah, he does a few other things now, too.
Do they rely on you still for coffee, though? I could see that.
Well, for the good stuff, yeah.
Yeah, for the good stuff. For that.
Special occasions.
Yeah, if you're a student studying, you got to have the good stuff, right?
Yeah, that's right. We definitely prioritize
key
coffee.
Ingredient, yes.
So where did the idea for the Tech Academy come from? Danny, I'll ask you that.
Sure. One of our co-founders, Eric Gross, he actually learned computer programming, software development about computers when he was in the Navy. He was a nuclear reactor operator. And he had been involved in technology essentially his whole life. But a few years ago, he essentially was working as a senior software developer, but was taking on contract work and realized that there was a lot of work that he didn't necessarily need to do himself. A lot of simpler tasks that any junior programmer could do. So he started teaching people. He started, taking a few students under his wing, teaching him how to code and that type of thing, and because he couldn't find anyone around who already knew enough to be able to do that, so he ended up teaching people himself. And then one day, basically, his son came home and was like, "Dad, I want to do a software boot camp." And Eric was like, "What is that?" Right? Found out that this is a thing where, intensively teaching people to develop software. And he realized that he was essentially doing that with these few students that he had working for him. So he decided to turn it into an actual school, which got essentially that's where Jack came into play. Jack Stanley is our other co-founder, who really brought the administrative know-how into the mix and really put an actual school there, and the day-to-day runnings of the office and how to run a company essentially, and they worked together and built it from there.
And the rest is history.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly.
Here we are today.
Let me open this up to both of you. How important is the tech industry to the Portland metro area? And I'll ask you that first.
It's essential, and it's growing rapidly. I feel like everything in the city is growing rapidly right now, but definitely the technical element. We have, of course, there's Intel, but there's lots of other large technical companies here and lots of startup tech companies in Portland that are quickly growing. So it's definitely essential. And then on top of that, as our lives become more technical, these skills become more essential in every industry. We've had people go through our program or start our program that don't necessarily want to leave the job that they're currently in, but that these skills are going to be more and more essential. I had a student the other day say, these skills are just going to really help me help my team. And she works in education, and she just knows that adding the ability to develop software to her existing toolkit is going to help her no matter what she does.
Yeah, technology is kind of here to stay, right?
Yeah,
I think
definitely.
So.
And what, can you, either one of you, speak to the fact that there's a lot of companies that were initially based in the San Francisco or the Bay Area, and they're kind of moving north? Is there kind of a migration coming this way?
Yeah, I definitely say there is. I mean, the city of Portland, I've lived here my whole life. I'd say we have a lot to offer here. But yeah, I've definitely seen, many different companies start in the Bay Area, migrate up here. Obviously it's a lot more affordable up here. There are a lot of perks to living up in Portland. We are growing from that direction up here for sure.
Yeah, I was talking to a technical recruiter the other day who was talking about how there was the huge boom in San Francisco and how it grew like crazy, and then that happened in Seattle, and now we're really seeing that happen in Portland. That it's kind of we might be the last of the three to join that party, but that the boom is starting to happen here as well. Yeah.
Wow. So more traffic is coming.
Yeah. Sadly, I think so.
Don't mean to put the sad face on it. But yeah, it's the. I've lived in Portland for probably close to 25 years, and it's definitely changed over the time.
It definitely has.
It's there's a lot more people here.
Yeah.
But a lot more exciting things happening in this beautiful city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it really is.
So, Hannah, I'm going to ask you, sell me on entering the tech world. What are the benefits and what are all the great things out there that I should be interested in?
The biggest things really come down to finding a job when you're done. Coming into the tech industry, there's a lot of high-paying jobs, and those jobs aren't going anywhere. We were looking at a statistic yesterday that something by 2020, there's an estimated 1 million unfulfilled tech jobs that, computer science graduates are only going to be filling a small percentage of what the industry is going to need by 2020. So coming into the tech industry, there's going to be jobs, and those jobs are going to pay really, really well because there's not enough people to do them. And I think that's the biggest reason to come into it.
That's actually really quite surprising that there's going to be so many unfilled positions in that industry. How come? Not necessarily how come they're unfulfilled, but how come there's so many jobs?
When we look at our lives, I think even just in my lifetime, or even if I look back 10 years to how much technology was in our day-to-day lives and how much it was used to get from point A to point B or to communicate with somebody to where we are now, some of us can't function without our smartphone for 10 minutes. Or, how would I know where I'm going? Or how would I tell someone I'm going to be 5 minutes late? Like those kinds of things. And it's just immersing into more and more aspects of our life. And I think we're going to see that continue.
Yeah, I can't imagine it ever reversing back to where we don't have the ability to text.
Right.
Right.
Yeah,
that's what I know.
And as technology expands and grows and we can use it for more and more things to make ourselves more efficient or to make our lives easier, someone is doing the work to make the technology do those things. And that's the developers.
Let me be devil's advocate a little bit and say, what more could my phone do? What more can my laptop do that it doesn't already do? It's like, it's so fast already,
Oh, I think that
it seems
all the time.
Yeah, you think, wow, is this it?
I think those things all the time. Like, how could it possibly do more? But the things it does now, I wouldn't have thought of on my own either. I would have never, it wouldn't have occurred to me that phones could do all they're already doing.
Yeah, to think that your telephone is more powerful than the computer you had 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It's pretty phenomenal. So what's on the horizon? What do you guys see coming up?
In terms of technology itself or in terms of...
Yeah, I guess in terms of technology and just kind of what's on the horizon of...
There's so many things. I think artificial intelligence is definitely the direction a lot of things are moving in. What will these robots be doing and how will they make our lives easier and how will they make them more difficult? And so that's definitely...
Yeah, cryptocurrency is another one that buzzword that's coming up a lot.
Yeah, the blockchain and what it's capable of, it's going to open a ton of doors.
Yeah, cryptocurrency with our our currency is becoming electronic. It is becoming, numbers within computers. That in itself is just a huge impact that, that started, a number of years ago, over 10 years ago, but is definitely within the last year now is becoming a huge factor. And there's a lot of involvement in it. A lot of our students are getting very interested in that and learning more about it. So that's another thing.
Maybe explain more about what cryptocurrency, what you mean by cryptocurrency?
So electronic money is essentially the root of it. A currency that is not controlled by any particular government or anything like that, that it's open source and...
it's not controlled by any government. It's something that is... There's the technical aspect of how you do that, right?
Yeah.
But then there's what are the ramifications of it? It's not owned by any body. It is something that
right.
you can it has value because of its own self-generated scarcity. How we've created it.
And it's interesting because, so far when we look at things like Bitcoin, we just see extreme volatility. And some of us are like, well, why would I want to keep my money in a place that I don't know what it's going to be worth tomorrow? Or, why would a business want to accept a payment when the value of that amount of Bitcoin could change in 2 days? And there's so many questions, but I think that all of those questions exist with each type of new technology. I think that when we first saw smartphones introduced, people were like, well, why would I want a phone that can do all of those things? I don't need a phone that can do that. I just need to call people. And now those people are using their smartphones to do everything. So, over time, and I think that we'll see that volatility calm down as it becomes more widely accepted. But there's just so many questions around cryptocurrency and the blockchain in general at this point. But I think that those buzzwords will become more and more a part of our lives.
Yeah, I've watched a little bit of Bitcoin, and it certainly goes up and down a lot.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
Exactly.
Something a little tentative about getting involved in.
Yeah.
Are you guys all for it, though?
I mean, I think it's going to be inevitably part of our future. Mm-hmm. I don't see any way around it. We have, some of our staff are very involved in it, very, very interested in it. We've given talks about it at the school. So I don't think there's any, in my opinion, no use in avoiding it. It's a pretty cool technology, too. And for what it stands for, like the idea that it's not controlled by any government or anything like that is also, in my opinion, a pretty cool concept. I think that, in the future, we're going to see it a little less used for strictly investment purposes and more like, I'm going to go to the store and, use this many Bitcoin or Ethereum to or fractions thereof to purchase what I want today.
Yeah, I definitely don't trust it enough yet that I'm personally pouring my life savings into it. No, right. No, definitely not. But it's interesting. It's fun to watch.
Yeah, it's out there.
Yeah.
And it is interesting to see it.
Yeah.
And see what it does. Yeah, that's cool. Danny, let me ask you, when people graduate from the Tech Academy, where are you seeing them being placed? What kind of jobs are out there? And have you followed people along just to see what their path is?
Oh, definitely. So it's actually an array of different jobs. You think it's not necessarily that you just jump into, sitting 9 to 5 writing codes or writing lines and lines of code all day long. The number of different jobs that you can get when you know software is very, very wide. Like, for example, some software companies, with their newer developers will start them off in customer service type roles where they're where they are manipulating code, correcting code, as type of a customer service, maintenance type of activity, right? And then they may move into more of a full-time developer type role. But there's things like that. There's things like, testing the software out, quality assurance, As well as just, you know, you're starting as a software developer. You could be developing websites. You could be making industry programs to help a business manage their inventory. The spectrum is as wide as technology itself is.
Yeah. It's kind of never ending.
Yeah.
It's out there. You can just keep going. What kind of barriers do you see to learning software?
So the barriers to learning software, it'd be the same barriers like say you want to go to college, right? That's one route that you can go about learning software. You're going to have to figure out the time to do it, and you're going to have to figure out the money to go to college. So those are the barriers to getting into any industry. But then with software, you have an interesting barrier where you have to break into this industry, which is where you have to show that you can develop things, you can make websites, you can, you know, do what you're supposed to do with, but of course you don't necessarily have experience doing it professionally. So you kind of have to figure out breaking that barrier of having to have experience before you can gain experience, so to speak, you know, in a real job. But you know, outside of that, it's learning to do it. What are your resources? Where are you going to go? Are you going to study by yourself? You know, just there are tons and tons of online resources you could learn it. Or, you know, are you going to do a boot camp, which is a bit more of a controlled, directed approach to it?
Actually, that sounds like the way to do it, is just fully immerse yourself in it and probably find out along that way if it's really something you want to do, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We've had, because the Tech Academy is different from a lot of boot camps in that it's a full stack web development, meaning you will develop, you can learn to develop not only websites, but also way back on the back end, that stuff you never even hear or see.
Yeah, the users never touch.
As a user, you don't know anything about that, you know. you learn the whole array of it. And so, the result of that is someone who's done the Tech Academy knows a bit more of a wider variety of technologies. And, you know, from there can either go like, great, I want to be someone who works on all of this, you know, entire stack here, or I want to actually just focus more on, you know, the front end user experience of, you know, developing websites, that type of thing.
Hannah, you said earlier that you kind of run the gamut of age groups, right? From fresh out of high school till 60s and 70-year-olds.
Yeah.
Is there a particular personality that fits into the tech world better than others?
There's yes and no. I mean, we've seen, because there's such a wide variety of students, we've seen a really wide variety of personality types and skill sets and aptitudes that do really well in this industry. I would say a consistent thing that people should like to do is work with computers, which sounds kind of funny, but there's some people who just have no desire to look at a screen or be in front of a computer, and they probably won't do very well in software development. And then on top of that,
sounds logical.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of problem solving in coding. There's a lot of doing something that doesn't work and having to figure out why it doesn't work. So people who like puzzles, people who like problem solving, that personality trait does really well. And then on top of that, I think there's this misconception that coders sit in front of a computer by themselves all day. There's the running joke of the stereotype of the guy in his mom's basement, right, like eating chips and drinking Mountain Dew, and that he works by himself and doesn't get along well with people. And actually, that personality type doesn't do very well in this industry at all, because truly a software developer is working in a team almost all the time. We say that starting out, coders maybe spend 20% of their workday coding. And the rest of that is in meetings, is looking at things with your team, is sharing with your team and discussing what you can do to make it better, those kinds of things. So really the ability to work with others is super important too.
Yeah, it seems like it would be very collaborative.
Yeah, definitely.
Always. Like, not one person develops this app that does something.
Right. And if they do, it probably isn't going to work very well for most people.
And how great that part of that collaboration is, everybody's brains working in a different way to make it yeah. the user experience even that much more fulfilling.
Yeah, that's part of why the diversity is so much fun in this industry, is different people think differently and approach problems differently and notice different things about the problem and have different ideas of how to fix it and make it better.
So what do you guys see in the future for jobs in the tech world? What's coming up?
Well, I see a lot more jobs coming. You know, a couple reasons for that. One, just because software, you know, cool apps on your phone and, you know, different, you know, software companies coming up with cool ideas to make life more fun and efficient and easier. That's one aspect of it. But the other aspect is pretty much every company nowadays has an IT department, is going to need their own website or need their own computer program to run their day-to-day business in order to, you know, keep up with their competition, in order to be the most efficient and effective that they can be. So not only jobs in software companies, but also, you know, other companies that aren't software that have large IT departments who are building their own software.
The future is very bright, I think, for the tech people.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah,
it
definitely is.
We don't anticipate it slowing down in our lifetime. Yeah. So,
not anytime soon. Well, this has been great. Thanks so much. Actually, give out the website where we can get more information about the Tech Academy.
Yeah, our website is actually learncodinganywhere.com.
Awesome. Well, this has been great. Thanks for getting us caught up on what's happening in the tech
world.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
We've been talking today with Hannah Patterson and Danny Condon with the Tech Academy. Thanks again.
Metroscope is an Entercom Radio Portland public affairs program. I'm Gary Bloxham. If you're involved with a nonprofit or public affairs organization, or if you have an idea for an upcoming show, I'd like to hear from you. Visit metroscopepdx.com and submit your ideas. You can also go to this station's website and submit your information there. Thanks for listening to Metroscope, and enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.